This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
You know, culture in Cape Town, in the past, where after your wedding night, the husband's aunties would come to the bedroom and they would inspect the sheets. Ugly, wallahi, despicable, disgusting. I don't know if it happens anywhere else, but when I learned of it, this was while I was a student in Manila. I was at a family gathering, and I said, no more. Anyone who gets married into this family, or any of the cousins who get married, no one is going to have this happen to them again. It is haram, haram, haram. It is not permissible. It is not permissible to intrude into someone's privacy like that. Because, besides, you know, the obvious reason why they do it to make sure that the girl, you know, was a virgin before marriage, it is disgusting that we don't have that trust in. If someone says, if I ask a couple, you know, have you had, you know, any relations with each other before, or with other people, or with each other before, and they say no, halas. The default ruling in Islam is if a Muslim says something, then he's being truthful. Right? He's innocent until proven guilty. And there's absolutely no reason why the community or the family should intrude into your life like that. Okay? But it's there. That it does happen. Okay. What is the sunnah on the first night? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he married Aisha radiallahu anha, he married her in Makkah. But he only engaged or consummated that marriage with her in Medina. So when he came to Medina, the women, they beautified her, they perfumed her, and then they told the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come into the room, and they gave her a mug that was filled with honey and milk. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave it to her, she drank from the milk, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took the mug, he turned it to the side that she put her lips on, and then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also drank from them. Okay, so the first thing we learn here is that a man and a woman must prepare themselves for this night. They must beautify themselves for it. They must look good, smell good. Okay, the second thing is that we learn from this is that a man should bring his wife a gift. In this case, it was a sweet gift. Could be honey, could be chocolates, could be whatever your wife likes. But the culture there, you know, honey and milk. And even now, you know, have you ever had that before?
No.
Taking some milk, mixing some honey. It's nice. Right? But whatever your spouse enjoys, bring something like that. It doesn't have to be something edible. It could be something else as well. It could be a different kind of gift. The third thing that we also need to understand is that gentleness is and patience is absolutely important. Okay? So patience, not being, you know, I remember something very funny. There's a book called Tuhfatul Aruz, the gift of the newlyweds. But this was a horrible, horrible translation. So on this chapter, when they're talking about this, they talk about sexual intercourse of the first time. Right? Now the Arabic words, if I remember correctly, in Arabic it was, I can't remember what the Arabic words were. وَأَنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَا يَأْتِي زَوْجَتَهُ. I don't remember, but you know, it had basically the translation should have been, and the husband should approach the wife in a gentle, caring way, you know, sexually. How did this person translate it? The husband should not rape his wife. I was horrified. Like, what did he do? I think he put it in Google Translate and he pressed enter and that's what he got, and then he put it in Google. Okay? But basically the words used were that he should be rifq and lean and rahmah and mawadda and loving, affectionate. You know, all of those things were mentioned, and none of those connotations or that the translator understood. So patience. Also gentleness. Not only in terms of the physicality, but also in the words. Reassuring your spouse. Especially men need to be gentle in their physical actions. They need to be gentle in their words, in the way that they approach their wives on the first night. It's absolutely essential. Then also, there must be lots of foreplay. Okay? Lots of foreplay. If it is to be enjoyable, especially for the wife, then there must be lots of foreplay. And if you have never ever been in a sexual relationship before, this is something that must be enjoyed even more. Kissing someone for the first time. Imagine. You're finally married. You've never kissed someone of the opposite sex with desire. You know? You've never had a boyfriend or a girlfriend. So the first night you're with your spouse for the first time. First time you are alone with someone from the opposite sex. Should you not now engage in all of these things that you've been looking forward to? Besides sexual intercourse? The kissing and the caressing and the touching. Talking to each other, getting to know each other. This is important. And so also this is important to make sure that when penetration finally happens, that it is as in the best way possible, where there's enough lubrication, that after the hymen is broken, at least there will be sexual enjoyment for the wife as well, and not only for the husband. One of the things we'll talk about later is premature ejaculation. How much time do we have there? So, this is something, I was telling you about my student who came to me. One of the things I told him, I said that because you are going to get married and this is the first time you're going to have this kind of relationship, this might happen to you. Okay? So he was like, oh no, what am I going to do? I was like, don't worry about it. Okay? It is, if your wife is a practicing Muslim like you, she's never had boyfriends yet. So for her, it's a new experience as well. So if you ejaculate in the first few seconds, then it's something that the two of you, as a couple, will work together to improve. Like the analogy that I want to use, and I hope this is a good analogy. Tell me. Please comment later. I use the analogy of jogging. The first time you go on a jog, you run 100 meters, you die. Okay? You collapse. The second day, you run 200 meters, mashallah. After 6 months, you're going 20 kilometers. After a year, you can run an ultra marathon. Do you understand? Is it a good analogy?
Yeah.
Many of the brothers? Good analogy? Okay. So think of it like that for those unmarried brothers here. It might be like that. Okay? So don't fear. And sisters, wallahi, if your husband understands the issue of gentleness, then it is something that you should not fear as well this first time. Okay. Reassurance. Being there. Reassuring. Not putting pressure, this is important. Don't put pressure on your spouse that first night. Okay? Because if you are inexperienced, as we should all be before we get married, you know, the reality is that sometimes we are not. But if we are inexperienced, then we need the assurance that it's okay, don't worry. You know? We're going to do this together. We'll talk about very, very important. Then, lubrication. Now, obviously, there's natural. Lubrication, and there's also, you know, certain lotions and other things that can be used, like KY jelly and other things that can be used to assist this, especially for the first few times that a couple engage in sexual intercourse. To use lubrication and to use extra lubrication just to make sure that it's as enjoyable as possible for both partners. But I want to caution, as I cautioned about other things, that this shouldn't become the norm. Okay? Because what will end up happening is that husbands especially will use this as an excuse to sort of not engage in any foreplay. Because they have this clutch to rely upon. Okay, so lubrication should only be used at the beginning and when it is necessary. Because one of the things that we'll discuss, hopefully if we have enough time, is that sometimes a woman might have an illness that in which her natural secretion of lubrication is hampered. Okay? So she can't, it's dry. And then this might become necessary. Okay? And also as women get older, this might become necessary as well. But when you just get married, this should only be used as an extra measure to make sure that it's as enjoyable as possible. Okay. Dealing with shyness and inexperience. If you do everything else that I've mentioned, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was described as being more shy than a virgin girl in her wedding chamber. Why? Because the virgin girl has never been with a man before. She doesn't know what to expect. She doesn't know what it's going to feel like. She doesn't know, you know, how her husband will treat her. So it's even more important that the husband comes and deals with his wife in the best way possible. Okay? Tempering expectations. This is important. Why? Because couples might get married thinking that the first night or the first week is going to be like, you know, X, Y, Z. It's going to be a certain way. And then the first night isn't like that. Imagine, a husband thinks that the first night is going to be, you know, just amazing. They're going to have sexual intercourse 20 times, you know, and it's going to go from Isha until Fajr. Yeah. Right? That's what he thinks. Just as an example. That's what a husband thinks. But then what ends up happening is that his wife finds it painful, and it's so painful for her that the husband can't even, you know, reach his climax the first time. Imagine, the first time the wife starts crying because it's so painful. And she says, well, I can't do it, it's too sore. And then the whole night is spoiled for him. Why? Because of his expectations. The whole night. And then, you know, a lot of brothers, they get married thinking that they're going to have sex like 10 times a day. Right? I mean, that's seriously. Maybe that's what men think, you know. Maybe even more. And some brothers, they come to me after a month of marriage and they say, "Chef, there's something wrong with my wife." What's wrong with your wife? And they say, you know, we're not having sex so often. So now I need to know more. So I ask him, what do you mean? He says, no, we're only having sex once a day. I say, why is that a problem? He says, when my cousin said that he was having sex 10 times a day, you understand? Expectations. And if you know what to expect, then inshallah ta'ala, it will be something you can talk to your wife and your husband about. But if you go there with, you know, marriage, and that first night or that first week being a certain way, then you will be disappointed. Okay, because it doesn't always go that way. Okay, communication is important. Why? Because we want to make sure that we are talking about, you know, what we want, what's enjoyable, what isn't enjoyable, what's sore, what's painful, what isn't painful. All of these things need to be spoken about. You can't manage. If I could write these words in gold, I would. Marriage to someone doesn't mean you can read their mind. Just because you marry someone doesn't mean that you can, you know what they're thinking. Okay? So why are you going to complain about something your spouse does or doesn't do when you haven't communicated anything to them? Like, I hate it when my husband does this. Yeah, you told him. No, I haven't. And I hate it when my wife does this. And you told her? No, I haven't. So how will they know? But it's just something you should understand. He should just know. She should just know. I mean, these things are, you know, self-explanatory. Isn't it so? Like, how does she not know? Does she not see how disappointed I look? Like, I'm depressed. She should be able to see it on my face. No. We don't work like that. And unless you tell someone something, don't expect them to just know that there's a problem. And this, you know, this rule applies to any relationship, not only marriage. Okay, we're almost. Spoke about that. Okay, common problems for men. Common problems for men is premature ejaculation and impotence. Impotence is the inability to get an erection. So this is a big problem for not only for older men, but also for younger men, okay? Especially premature ejaculation for younger men. And what do we mean? And how? And all of us must talk about what we mean. I think that's self-explanatory. But let's talk about how to avoid this. Number one, if you are just newly married, then it is something to work, you know, to work through and, you know, to build up. I'm going to put this in. Stamina, okay? That's something that you'll get used to and you'll become accustomed to. But if the problem continues for months, then I recommend that you see a doctor. And perhaps it is a Perhaps it is a medical condition. The same with impotence. Perhaps you are so, the husband is so worried, he's so nervous on the first night that he can't have an erection. But you know, maybe a week later, alhamdulillah, they get to know each other, you know, it's easy. But if the problem continues, again, we should seek medical assistance. Right? Alhamdulillah, there are many, you know, there are clinics now that specialize in these kinds of issues. Okay, for women, it is pain during sex, and the fact that their husbands fulfill their sexual need and then do not make sure that the wife's sexual needs are fulfilled. So the husband reaches an orgasm and then he's done. Okay? Now, how many couples have complained to me about this? The husband, you know, he fulfills his desire, he turns around and he goes to sleep. And then he quotes a hadith when his wife complains. What's the hadith? If the wife is at the oven or the stove, and the husband calls her to his bedroom, she should just come. That's all about me. The hadith, Sheikh, doesn't the hadith say it's about my desires? Yes, that's true. But your wife has a right upon you that you fulfill hers. That you make sure that she stays chaste. And that you help her to lower her gaze and protect her private parts. That is a right that a wife has over her husband. Absolutely important. Okay, that your husband makes sure. And I always tell brothers, and I tell that brother, I said, it should be your goal that your wife reaches an orgasm before you do. And how is this easy? How is this achieved? By making sure that there is a lot of foreplay and clitoral stimulation before penetration. That is how a husband can maximize his wife's pleasure and make it more likely that his wife will have an orgasm before he does. Okay? And, you know, some relationship counselors and marriage counselors, they recommend that couples as a goal in their sexual relationship should strive to orgasm together. And you should get to know your spouse so well that you should be so in tune with one another's bodies that you should orgasm together. I'm not saying that is an Islamic goal, but all that I'm saying is that that's something to think about. Okay? And I always tell brothers this as well, because it seems to be a problem more for the men than the women, that you must make it part of your sexual fulfillment, knowing that your wife has been fulfilled. You must make it part of your sexual fulfillment, your feeling that, you know, that was good, you know, and there was great sex, knowing that your spouse has enjoyed it as well. And she has gotten the maximum enjoyment from it as well. And this is for life. It's an Islamic right to make sure that you are making sure that your spouse is protected from halal. As for complaints, here we go. Number one, we don't have sex often enough. Right? That's something that communication can fix. And also what we spoke about earlier about emotional engagement. Okay? The second thing is, my spouse doesn't prepare for me. Meaning either that my husband comes home, he wants to have sexual intercourse, but he doesn't take a shower, he comes home from work, he's all sweaty and smelly, and he just wants to have, you know, sex. He doesn't, you know, prepare himself for me. He doesn't comb his beard, take a shower, apply perfume, you know, and things like that. Or the husband says, my wife, you know, when she goes out, mashallah, you know, she prepares herself. But when it comes time for us to be intimate, then she couldn't care. Take me as I am. Right? Take me as I am. Rather, we know that it is absolutely important that a husband and a wife make themselves look beautiful for each other. To look good. Not only for sex, but also at other times. You're always looking good. Always making sure oral hygiene. You know, always applying perfume for the men. You know, always looking good. You know, even if you are at home, wearing clothing that your wife finds attractive. Your wife doesn't like you. Let me give you an example, brothers. You know, a lot of brothers, you know, will walk around the house and will look like, you know, just disheveled. Okay, broken sweaters, and, you know, just a three-quarter pants that's got holes everywhere, you know, broken socks. And just as an example. And your wife doesn't find it appealing. So, you would like your wife to walk around your home looking beautiful, but you know, if you don't have a problem looking all, can I use the word, vagrant? You know, looking like a homeless person, you know, at home. Don't look like a homeless person at home, brothers. You know, look presentable. Okay, you don't have to be formal to be, you know, attractive to your spouse. And one of the other things that I didn't speak about was, you know, the importance of healthy eating and physical activity to a healthy sexual relationship. Okay? Meaning that you have more stamina. Meaning that you look good. You look better. Right? You have more vigor for men and for women. And it's very important because we are supposed to help each other lower our gazes. But if we are overweight, if we, you know, don't have a lot of physical energy, etc., etc., it makes it very, very difficult for our spouses to look at us and say, wow. I'm not talking about six packs, brothers, don't worry. I'm not saying you should go on a salt meat diet, but look good. You know, do whatever you enjoy doing, whether it's cycling, it's swimming, you know, like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. You know, you join us tomorrow night at ASA MMA, you know, for that. Whatever it is, but do that. And eat well, because your eating affects your libido, your sexual desire as well. Eating a lot of fatty foods, you know, foods that are filled with grease and salt. Salt is one of the reasons why, one of the things that lead to this. A lot of salt intake. Okay? Your blood pressure is going to be raised, and it's going to find it very, very difficult as you get older. Well, brothers, when we get into our 50s and 60s, this is going to have a profound effect on our libido. Okay? So we need to make sure, inshallah, that we look after ourselves now, so that we are, right? He only fulfills his need. He only, you know, the husband only fulfills his need when he's done, then, you know, the whole, you know, relationship or the whole engagement is over, and that is something unacceptable in Islam. We spoke about this earlier, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us as men not to go to our wives like donkeys, go to their pigs. What is he saying? One of the things he's saying is that don't be like an animal that only fulfills its desire and then leaves. Rather, you are there to fulfill your spouse's needs as well. And as I said earlier, make one of your goals, brothers, that your spouse's sexual, you know, enjoyment is your sexual enjoyment. Okay, that brings us to the end of our workshop. Obviously, there were so many things that, you know, we didn't speak about, and so many other things that needed to be expounded on some more. But inshallah ta'ala, we'll have an opportunity to talk about this again in the future. And do you have anything to say? So our brother Sajid just has an announcement or some things to discuss with you. And if there are any questions, we'll take in. Was that Ta'ala? Yes, okay. Okay, so we'll take some questions until the time for Salah.
Marriage Q&A was put together, inshallah, by a group of brothers who actually feel that there's a huge need within the Muslim Ummah to educate, guide, and counsel our brothers and sisters in Islam. If I was to tell you that in Malaysia there's a divorce that takes place every 10 minutes, it probably won't be too much of a surprise. If I told you that almost 70% of those being divorced are Muslims, it kind of raises eyebrows and questions as to what's going on here. Why is this a problem? Why is this happening? The reality is, it's not just about Malaysia. It's a worldwide phenomenon. So one of the things we want to do is we want to actually help our brothers and sisters not only find marriage partners, how do they go looking forward to the right partner, but also to educate those who are in marriage, those yet to get married, and at the same time help find a solution for our brothers and sisters who are having trouble in their marriages. If I was to ask you guys, how many people do you know who have had a divorce in your family or in your friends, your circles? I'm sure that almost every single person here would probably know somebody or the other. And the question really comes down to is, what are you going to do about it? You know, we hear about these things. The question comes down to us: can we save a marriage? Can we do something to not only look after our marriages but those around us? And that's the purpose of Marriage Q&A. Now, inshallah, on the 14th of February, it's a very important date because it's celebrated around the world as Valentine's Day. But on the 14th of February, we have a conference called the Marriage Conference. It's a one-day workshop conference, inshallah, which will help not only educators but also help our brothers and sisters to find the right marriage partners, and also at the same time give people the option for counseling services. It's going to be a conference which is going to include mashayikhs from around the world, as well as marriage consultants and advisors. So it's a great day out, inshallah, for you and your family. We'll be giving more details about the marriage conference, inshallah, in the next couple of weeks when the website's up. But between now and then, our plan is to do a range of workshops like Sheikh Dad Mashallah is doing. The next one is actually on the 2nd of November, and I think it's called Asking the Right Questions. Okay, so inshallah, that's going to be, we'll post some details. A couple of quick things. Those of you who haven't given your details in terms of your name and your mobile number, please do so we can keep you informed. Secondly, there's a sheet that's been circulated, so by all means, please give your information. We'll keep you updated on these workshops and more information on the marriage conference itself. Secondly, there's a bag going around for donations. Now, I'm not sure who that is from. Is that for Sheikh Ali? Okay. Is that like a gift or is that?
It's a gift.
For his kids.
Oh, for his kids. Okay, that's fine.
It just might be good.
Okay, fair enough. Because we don't know where that was coming from or why it was going on. So, if you don't know what country, by all means do. But please make the because obviously that's more powerful than anything else. Are you doing Q&A? Okay, so I think there's still about 5 minutes or so before the Jamaat starts for us. So if anyone's got any questions, by all means, ask Sheikh Tariq. If you've got any questions regarding Magic Q&A, let us know, let the sisters know, the brothers know, our volunteers, and inshallah we'll speak to you soon about this. As-salamu alaykum.
Do you have any questions?
What did your teacher answer
in the madrasa? As I was about to say.